Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Don't forget, we're collecting your tweets and texts right now on what kind of ocracy we live in. We'll read them on the air after the news next hour. What is this? Is it a democracy? One of our callers the other day suggested that it's a Madison Avenue-ocracy. How would you describe the form of government that we actually live in the United States? What kind of ocracy do we live under? So we want your responses two ways. On Twitter, use the hashtag ocracy and tweet at Brian Lehrer. Use the hashtag ocracy and tweet at Brian Lehrer. Or text ocracy to 30644. And we'll text you back with a question. Don't text the kind of ocracy. Just text ocracy, O-C-R-A-C-Y, ocracy, to 30644, and you'll get your response to us. That way we'll trade texts. Okay, what kind of ocracy do we live in? Tweet at Brian Lehrer. Use the hashtag ocracy or text ocracy to 30644, and we'll text you back with a question. We'll read your responses on the air next hour. Now we begin a November series on trending topics in psychotherapy. There's a lot to worry about these days. Job numbers come out tomorrow. A stalemate in Washington hasn't been broken yet. There will be a referendum vote in Greece on the European bailout. And that's just the big picture. Those are news things, right? That doesn't get to, like, what your parents did to you when you were growing up or something. But all this month we'll be focusing on the individual. In this series, Dr. Nando Pelosi, a licensed clinical psychologist with a private practice here in New York, will be joining us to talk about what he's hearing from his field that's trending, that relates to today for whatever reason, and to take your calls on what's on your mind. Dr. Pelosi is on the board of advisors of the National Association of Cognitive Behavioral Therapists, and he's a contributing editor to Psychology Today. And we're going to kick it off today with a look at finances, career, and money, and how people are bringing that into their therapy sessions. If you are, or if you're a therapist and want to relay how this is trending in your practice, call us up, 212-433-WNYC. We have about 10 minutes for this for today, 212-433-9692. Dr. Nando Pelosi, welcome to WNYC. Thank you for doing this.
My pleasure, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Are finances and money trending topics on your couch as they are in the news?
You know, it's getting a little more explicit, but I believe that the important thing is the implicit idea. You know, some of these Occupy Wall Street expressions are, I think, a manifestation of sort of an impersonal helplessness, sort of a rage, and people are getting anxious at that level where they feel less and less empowered to get from point A to point B.
So those are the psychological issues, the emotional issues that people present with. They may be running out of money or running short of money, but in psychological terms, you just said helplessness, you just said rage. What was the third thing?
I use a term which is dysthymia. It's kind of a pervasive, low-level depression where people feel unable to get it together. And the thing is, once people get anxious, they don't think as clearly. It becomes more of a binary. I'm going to try this. This is going to be the solution, and then they get thwarted, and they try something else, and that leads to sort of this helplessness, as I mentioned.
Have you heard from the 1% about this? Is there a discussion in the field? Because I think you told us off the air that people are starting to ask you, why can't I be part of the 1%?
Well, that's right. We sort of label, an ability to overcome our divisions, but sort of the American dream seems to be eroding, or at least that's the trend. And people are saying, wait a minute, this is us and them now, and I'm not the 1%, and I should be. So what happens is a combination of getting down on oneself, what's wrong with me that I'm not the 1%, and then anger and blame at, you know, some of the malfeasance of the 1%ers.
Do you think this is a conversation unique to New Yorkers? You practice here, so you may not know what's going on elsewhere, but are there sessions elsewhere in the country, do you think? Are you hearing from any colleagues that people are putting themselves down for not being in the 1%?
Money is always sort of, I mean, it's work and love are the two big areas. So money has always been sort of an anxiety-producing thing. It's a little bit of an abstraction for us. But I think that the outgrowth of the Occupy Wall Street kind of things are a demonstration of the general anxiety about money all over.
212-433-WNYC. Does this sound like what you're bringing into therapy, or if you're a therapist, what your clients are bringing in? 212-433-WNYC. Patricia in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Thanks a lot for calling.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm okay. Thank you.
So
how about you? does your therapist, I don't know, how does this start? When you walk in and you see a therapist, does he or she start by saying, so how are you?
I've been seeing my therapist now for almost 30 years.
Wow.
Which seems like a long time, but it's not really, because it's just an ongoing talk-to relationship. And I saw the film Inside Job in the spring.
Uh-huh.
And I started to discuss that with my therapist, and we just have had this ongoing for a couple of, I see him every 3 weeks, so we had this ongoing conversation about what exactly is going on in the United States, economically, spiritually, jobs, just
but are you
everything.
Are you chatting about the world, or are you doing your own therapy process?
This is about me, like, where do I fit into this whole thing? The medical coverage and all this. I know I'm so nervous right now.
Right.
But what I'm saying is what the therapy did for me was to say, this is the state of the United States right now. You know, people have and people don't have, and it's really only going to get worse.
And does that help you? Did your therapist, by framing it that way, if they did?
Oh yes, absolutely.
Help you to feel better?
Yes, I feel better because all I can do is try and take care of myself, and I feel kind of helpless.
Well, that's a little different.
But I understand that the helpless feeling has to not engulf my life, but just kind of say, okay, this is what we have to do right now. This is it. I can't fight against it.
Yeah. Dr. Pelosi, what were you going
to
say?
Yeah, I'm going to interpret that, and Patricia can correct me, but I think what she's come to is an idea that she doesn't have to know the answer immediately, that she's going to take care of what she can control, and so that restores a bit of self-direction.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, at first I was, you know, I left the session, I'm saying, why did he have to tell me all that stuff? And the thing is that I wanted to know what is going on. I go to therapy because I want to pull the stuff out from under the rug, not sweep it back under.
Right.
And when you actually see what's going on and you say, okay, this is it, then you can at least start to deal with it for myself and my own family.
Thank you so much for your call. I think that's going to be helpful to other folks. David in Greenwich, you're on WNYC. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you? I just wanted to say that I am not one of the 1%. I'm one of the 99%. I'm not jealous, I am jealous of the 1%, but I'm not angry that they are 1%. We live in a society where we kind of think that if we just go to college and get out of college, that society will take care of us, and that's not necessarily the case. These people went on into upper levels of college. They're highly educated. They're very smart people, and they're being rewarded for the hard work that they've done. And if we choose not to do that and we don't get there, then I don't think that we have the right to complain when they actually do that hard work and get to that location in life.
David, thank you. Well, that's more of a political statement, Dr. Pelosi.
Well, actually, David mentioned that he's not envious, but mainly because I sense that he's not putting himself down. He's not saying, I've failed. He's saying that, well, the world is unfair, and I'm not going to...
Well, I don't know. David, if you're still there, I think I heard you the opposite, which is that you're saying the world is fair, and these people have earned their merit in a meritocracy.
I agree the world is fair. I agree that, you know, when I was younger, I chose not to go to grad school. I chose not to really pursue that avenue. That avenue was available to me. This country is a beautiful country. It was available. I didn't take advantage of it then, and so this is where I am now. So, in fact, it's my fault I am where I am in life. It's not somebody else's fault.
But he's not.
It's not
but you're
the
not putting yourself.
Fault that
but,
I'm here.
But he's not putting himself down.
He's just taking responsibility.
Right.
David, thank you very much. Did I say meritocracy? Maybe that's the kind of ocracy we live in. Text or tweet what kind of ocracy, and we'll talk about that next. Mary Alice in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
So what I
You're
feel,
a therapist?
I'm a therapist. And I think that what's not being included in this discussion is power. And sometimes in therapy, we do or do not talk about power, whether it's parental power or the authority that you have at work or government and political power. And that basically, I don't think it's a meritocracy. And I think that not only is money unequally distributed, but so is power, severely unequally distributed.
And so what's the psychological ramification of that?
I think the psychological ramification is that we end up, among other things, with a great deal of racism, sexism. We act out our anger about the unequal distribution of power by calling it by these names.
And I'm going to leave it there because our time is running very short now. But Dr. Pelosi, does that sound right to you? Do you think this can increase racism and other kinds of acting out?
Well, if you frame it in those terms, I do believe that you can look for a culprit, and then you'll set on one of those topics. But you don't have to. I believe in self-empowerment, as long as we don't live in a fascistic or communistic environment. The power is still largely in our hands.
And Herman Cain, wasn't it, who said, "If you're not rich, blame yourself."
That's a little extreme.
Just before you go, I understand you use evolutionary principles in your practice to help explain emotions. You also wrote the Neanderthink column for Psychology Today, which is an evolutionary psychology series. So when your patients come to you with their concerns about their career or the 1% and the 99%, in 30 seconds, what kind of evolutionary perspective do you give them, if any?
Well, I'd say let's be skeptical of your initial impulse to get enraged or hurt or defeated, because in an ancestral environment, we'd have a completely different set of objectives. They wouldn't be as abstract. You'd know who your friend was, you'd know who your enemy was, pretty much, and you didn't have to deal with cities, taxes, and all of the modern conveniences and inconveniences that we face.
Dr. Nando Pelosi, clinical psychologist with a private practice here in New York, on the board of advisors of the National Association of Cognitive Behavioral Therapists and a contributing editor to Psychology Today. He'll be with us every week this month to talk about trending topics in psychotherapy. Great start. Talk to you next Thursday.
Okay, see you then.